Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
We're going to be joined by James Merrill. We do have James.
James,
welcome on in. You have a piece up at denverfan.com. Has George Payton given Broncos country a reason for concern, a cause for concern? Go ahead and outline some of your thoughts that you have up there on denverfan.com.
Well, it stems from the fact that, look, I was pretty critical of what the Broncos did over the weekend. I didn't like what they did at number nine, passing on Justin Fields. I didn't like what they did in the second round, trading up to take a running back when they could have just stayed where they were and taken JOK and filled the middle linebacker void. I didn't like what they did. And a lot of the rebuttal I would get was, George Payton deserves the benefit of the doubt. He's a smart guy. You know, you got to trust the guy that was hired to evaluate all these people. And I'm sitting there saying, well, okay, so that's the plan. We just sit there and we don't question anything that he does. We just go, oh, he's smarter than us, so I guess he knows what he's doing. I just look at that and think it's poppycock. I mean, since the guy took the job, he's done plenty of things that are, you know, red flags to me. Now, they won't all turn out to be bad moves, but they're worthy of being questioned, right? And I outline them in some of them in the article of, you know, you're paying Von Miller $18 million this year. He didn't play last year. He had 8 sacks in 2019, counting $22 million toward the cap. That's questionable. A year after Shelby Harris hit the free agent market, found no market for his services and signed here a 1-year, $3 million deal, you gave him a 3-year, $27 million deal? You think he went up ninefold after having a worse year and when the salary cap went down? I think that's a questionable deal. You made Justin Simmons the highest paid safety in football. Okay, is he Buda Baker? Is he the Honey Badger? I don't know. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So it was really a rebuttal to the people who, have no defense for George Payton other than, well, he gets paid to do this, so we got to trust him. No, we don't. To me, it's a prove it thing. It's a, I don't think you can do the job till you show me you can do the job. And that's because this team hasn't made the postseason in 5 years. They've had 4 straight losing seasons. I know George Payton has had nothing to do with those, but I'm sorry, my patience has run thin, and he's going to have to prove to me that he knows what he's doing. I'm not just going to assume that he does.
Absolutely. You know, you got to prove it. You're not just giving the benefit of the doubt. I'm with you on that, but Poppy what?
Poppycock.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Nonsense.
Poppycock, balderdash, either one of those.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Those are radio-friendly terms.
Oh, okay. let me read you a quote from Bill Belichick. You know, he hadn't had the best drafting history, but here's his thought here. Here's his quote. Talking about, you know, who do you pick, and if you already have that position kind of filled, why'd you pick that guy? And he says, so I've heard that before. Why did you draft James White and he's inactive all year? Why did you draft Damian Harris and he was inactive all year? And then later on in the next year and in the course of their careers, those are the example of the guys that have become very valuable. So I think you try to acquire good football players, and then we'll figure out how to use them. And I think that's well said. I think sometimes, you know, like you, James, you go into the draft and you're saying, well, that guy's not going to be a starter day one. That guy's not going to be a starter day one. Like, why did you draft Javonte Williams? Well, they think he's going to be a really good player, and you don't draft for just 2021. You're drafted for 2022, 2023, and beyond. You want to draft good football players, and guess what? Good football players will eventually find the field. And so I think that's the right approach to have. And now, could you look at some of the picks and say, I don't know why you took this guy, I don't know why you took Surtain and not, Justin Fields? Certainly you can do that. We'll see how it plays out. But I don't like looking at positions and saying, well, you know, we got the cornerback rooms full. I don't even know if this guy's going to be a starter day one. Well, injuries happen. Things happen along the way. And you're not only drafting for, you're not just drafted for 2021.
No, I get that.
It doesn't sound like you get it.
The difference,
it just doesn't. When I read your Twitter, it doesn't sound like you get it.
I understand that. Now, the difference between Bill Belichick and what we saw here over the weekend is when he made those comments, he was typically picking either 31st or 32nd. So at that point, drafting.
But the basics of it is the same.
I understand. I get it. But, when you're drafting in the top 10, So now they've had a top 10 pick in three of the last 4 years. They still haven't found a quarterback. That's inexcusable to me. You're drafted in the top 10. I think that guy needs to start day one. I think it's a different expectation. I think coming in and being the fourth best corner on the team or fourth on the depth chart to start with.
He might be a starter, though. That's the thing. We don't know.
I mean, he might be.
You can't say that he's not going to be a starter.
I'm expecting him to start.
Right.
But then at that point, Callahan's
gone. Okay, Callahan's going to probably be gone. So, you know, you got to remember here, we got to let this thing play out before we see, you know, we don't know what his role is going to be.
I just want a gig where I can win either way, like George Payton, right? So when he signs, you know, Ronald Darby and Kyle Fuller and they have Bryce Callahan, everybody tells me, man, that's a top five defense. Look at these DBs. They got the best DBs in football. And then when they draft a corner with the number 9 overall pick, it's like, well, he's going to replace one of these guys, and these guys are going to be gone. And it's like, okay, well, geez, that's a win-win. And the other part of this is, you know, people start saying, well, in 2022, you know, this guy's going to be gone, and this guy's on a one-year deal. If this defense is the best defense in football, which we've heard people say, are you telling me that we're all going to go into next offseason being fine with them not bringing people back? I mean, if they have the best defense in football, my expectation would be George Payton keeps that group intact. If they actually, you know, find the exception to the rule here and win games despite the fact that they have a mediocre quarterback, if they become the outlier, well, they sure as heck better keep that defense together. So I don't understand how they're going to have a top five defense, and then it's also going to be fine with everybody that they turn the page, and it's great that they got all this depth. I just think when your first three picks will go into the first day of training camp and most likely opening week, and they aren't starting on a 5-11 football team, I don't think the draft was a success. I just don't. I mean, how many times do we have to have Josie Jewell trailing behind the Packers fullback in coverage before we address that position?
That's not right. Why'd you have to say the Packers fullback? You could have gone to a different play.
Because I was there, and I was dumbfounded.
I know you were there. But, James, it's a big picture approach. So you have to take – you can't just say after like 6 weeks if the guys aren't playing, making an immediate impact, that it was a bad draft class. You got to give this thing some time to let it play out before you say good pick, bad pick, or however you want to categorize it. You can say whatever you think now, but eventually you're going to have to let it play out before you decide.
Sure. I'm not going to be a knee-jerk guy. And look, I don't think Pat Surtain is a bad player by any means. That's the shame of all this, is it turns into, you know, it sounds like I don't think he can play, or I think Javonte Williams is going to be a bust. I don't. I think they're good players. I just think they were luxury picks for a team that can't afford luxuries at this point.
Is that ultimately the synopsis of your argument here? Is that because I'm trying to figure out, like, if I were to explain your beef in one sentence to someone who wasn't a part of this conversation, what would I say? And is it that George Payton went about this draft with luxury picks and instead of addressing more pressing needs?
Partially. And that's sort of the basis of it. But then I think, Zach, the fine point on it is, and I wrote about this over the weekend, I think going into the draft, 20 out of the 22 spots in terms of starting offense, starting defense, we were all like, yeah, I think they're pretty darn good. I mean, there's a reason Pro Football Focus had them as the sixth best roster in football. Now, we can quibble about that number, but I think at the end of the day, we can all say, yeah, it's a pretty good roster. There were two spots that we would all say, yeah, it makes me a little nervous. And they could have filled him with Justin Fields and then with and I always just call him JOK because I know I'm going to botch his name, the middle linebacker under Notre Dame.
Owusu.
Yes, Jeremiah Owusu, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, you could have not only addressed one need, but both needs. Wouldn't have had to move. You didn't give up any draft capital. You didn't have to roll the dice. You didn't have to do any of those things. You just sat there at your spot. And they fell into your lap like, you know, something on Christmas morning. And you're like, nah, I think I'm going to go with the fourth corner. To me, it's just kind of the perfect storm of both those things. It's kind of the double whammy of it. That's what bugs me. And again, the other part of it is, all this stuff doesn't really matter if you don't have the quarterback. We've seen it for 5 years. They won a Super Bowl with a really, really good defense, with a great defense. But as we've seen over the history of this league in the 55 years they've been playing Super Bowls, repeating that feat is basically impossible. The 85 Bears didn't do it, for crying out loud.
Nope.
So continually trying to win that way doesn't work. And this team insists that they're going to be different. And I think it's just the definition of insanity. And I think as a fan base in Broncos country, you just bang your head against the wall. Look, could Justin Fields be a bust? Yes. But if you don't, the people who don't want to draft him because he could be a bust are the guys who they're afraid to strike out so they don't swing the bat while they're at the plate.
Yeah.
Like, you're still going to strike out.
Well, that's where that's where because I disagree with a big chunk of, you know, what you've been saying here. But where I do start to align with you is not swinging the bat. They didn't really give a genuine swing in free agency or the trade market, and they didn't swing at all here in the draft in any round. And this is now, and man, this almost feels unprecedented. Three top 10 picks over a 4-year period,
yeah,
all without a quarterback. Like, never at any point was the Broncos' position solidified, and all three times they choose to pass on one. And I'm convinced the way that it fell. See, because we went into Thursday having a real understanding, like unanimously, that Trevor Lawrence was going number one, Zach Wilson was going number two. That left over three potential quarterbacks to be drafted by the Broncos. The one who did not profile to be the fit was Trey Lance. Well, he goes three. And I don't think that they believed that both quarterbacks were going to be there. And when both quarterbacks are there, both guys profile as a, you know, more ready to play than a Trey Lance. Since they were both there, I just don't think that they were in the quarterback market. I really don't. So it's one of these things where, like, and I said this earlier today, this is about the most conservative approach in the league right now at the position. The yeah. most conservative. And I'm not telling you, you know, that, you know, it could end up working, but chances are it won't. And I don't want to sit here 1 year from now and look back and say, oh, man, you know, that was really silly that we thought that was going to work. Because I'm sitting here right now, present day, and I don't think it's going to work.
No, and you know, the fact that we hear over the weekend, too, that the acquisition of Teddy Bridgewater on Wednesday cooled the Broncos on a quarterback. If that doesn't make you question George Payton, then you just live life looking through orange-colored glasses. I mean, come on. If Teddy Bridgewater cooled you on taking a quarterback, then you deserve to be questioned about whether or not you know anything about that position. I mean, we've talked about it, right? Carolina gave him a 3-year, $63 million deal. 1 year later, they're paying him $7 million to play elsewhere. Like, that should tell you something. And you know what? You could have convinced me had they taken Micah Parsons, right? And now all of a sudden they solidified that middle linebacker position. And you said, look, we like Drew. I've defended Drew. I think Drew has some potential. I think the blame in terms of why he regressed last year falls as much on Pat Shurmur, probably more on Pat Shurmur than it does Drew Locke. But then you come out over the weekend too, and Mike Kliss tells us, well, they're going to go 50-50 on reps. Okay, so Drew Locke, you know, his rookie year, they put him on IR and he didn't get to practice and he just had to go upstairs and do virtual reality and not be with the team. Last year, there's no offseason and there's a new offensive coordinator because the guy who got good performance out of Drew Locke and they went 4-1 with him was the scapegoat that Vic Fangio pointed the finger at. So we bring in a new offensive coordinator. And now this year, he's going to get half the snaps in camp and he's going to get half the starts and half the reps with the ones during preseason. How is that going to help the kid get better? It just, none of it makes sense. And we've tried to win with Joe Flacco and Case Keenum and the list. We all know the list of guys. And now you're trying to sell me I'm Teddy Bridgewater. At some point, I'm not going to be the sucker. I'm just not. And I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Well, boy,
I'm a little fired up.
No, it's look, you have every right to be fired up. You really do because of what has happened here. Right over the past 4 or 5 years, and you have a great opportunity to get a quarterback. You pass on that guy. You pass on two guys. So,
and I feel like there's this thing happening right now where it's like you have to fall in one of two camps. And we talked a little bit about this on Friday when I said if you want to be mad and frustrated, go ahead and do that. Like, don't tell other fans how to be a fan.
Yes, and don't tell other fans how to fan.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, that's
like
what I
that.
Said on Friday, yes. and I believe that because
I thought I said that on Friday.
No, I said it. You liked it.
I'm stealing it.
And the reason I say that is because I feel like people are falling into one of two camps. It's this. No, the Broncos had a great draft, and anyone who says the Broncos didn't have a great draft is, you know, a hater or something like that. And then there's this other group that's like, you know, you didn't draft a quarterback. What are you thinking? You're an idiot. I think you can be a fan of who the players that the Broncos actually drafted, but also simultaneously agree that the position wasn't addressed to the extent that you wanted it to be addressed. And I think both of those things can live in the same world. And that's kind of where I find myself is, you know, I really like a lot of these players. I think there's a handful of difference makers for this roster. But at the same time, can this roster win on any given Sunday? Sure. But can you win the next Sunday and the Sunday after that and have a great chance to win the Sunday after that? You don't enter that territory until you have the quarterback position addressed. And the competition that we're going to see, and you're right, James, the one thing that you said that resonated with me is like, look, you're bringing in competition for Locke. He's a young quarterback, but yet you're going to take half of all his reps, those precious reps that we heard all about that he didn't have a year ago.
Yep.
You're now going to voluntarily remove half of them and give them to Teddy Bridgewater. And I it doesn't seem like
you'll still get the reps. Just not with the first team.
Remember those two years ago, guys? We sat in that tent, and we were so frustrated watching Kevin Hogan get second-team reps, right? Because it was like,
He was a champ, James. He was a champ. Drew had to knock him out.
Yeah, why is Drew Lock not getting these reps, right? It was just a wasted opportunity. We all knew Kevin Hogan wasn't going to be the backup quarterback. We certainly knew he was never going to be the starter here. He was never going to have the job. But it was this old-school football mentality of, oh, you're right, Stoke. He's got to knock out the champ. He's got to earn it. You're just wasting time. And I feel like that's what they're going to do this year in camp and in preseason, too. Look, is Teddy Bridgewater right now today a marginally better quarterback than Drew Lock? Probably. Would they maybe win a game or two more with him? Sure, you could convince me of that. But is he ever going to be the quarterback here when this team is a true contender, when they have a chance to dethrone the Chiefs in the AFC West? No, he's not. So could Drew Lock turn into that? He has a better chance than Teddy Bridgewater. We've seen what Teddy B can be. So to not give him every opportunity to do that is ridiculous. Look, if they hadn't taken a quarterback because they had all been already selected and they didn't want to give up, you know, a ton to move up, okay, I wouldn't have faulted George Payton for that. We may have discussed that, you know, sometimes you gotta roll the dice, but I wouldn't have beat him up about it. And then if they said, look, we're going to go with the kid and we're going to do everything we can to make him to give him the opportunity to be successful. Okay, he could have sold me on that. But they passed on a guy when he fell into their lap, and now they're making it harder on their young quarterback so they can go with a guy who's been with, what, four teams in 4 years? Really? That's the plan? And I'm supposed to buy into that just, you know, because we're giving carte blanche free pass to George Payton because he's new on the job? I just don't buy that.
All right, James, we're going to leave it there for now. I want you to go do some deep breath exercises.
Maybe the 2 Breathe o'clock in. Coffee wasn't a good idea.
Hey, we'll talk to you a little bit later in the
week,
man.
Thanks, James.
All right, fellas. Take care.
There he goes. James Merrillat from DenverFan.com.
Well, look, here's the situation. You know, you can be on board with what George Payton did. You could not be on board with it. I'm choosing to be optimistic about this draft class and understand why he took some of these players. And I don't need to see them start day one and make this great impact their rookie year to say George Payton, great job, or George Payton, awful job. That will play out over a couple years. Okay, like any draft class, we'll see how this thing plays out. Was it a good move that he passed on Justin Fields and Mac Jones? I don't know. I can't tell you that right now. Once again.
And no one can, by the way.
Right.
Remember
no
that.
Can.
No one can.
Right. Time will tell us.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think, you know, and I hear where James is coming from. You can be very critical if you want. You can be very optimistic if you want. I'm going to let this thing play out. And I'm going to watch the guys he took and the guys he didn't take. And then after a couple years, we'll revisit it and we'll say, man, you screwed that one up. Or, whew, man, I'm glad you didn't go Justin Fields or Mac Jones. That was a great job, George Payton.
Well, we don't know. We don't know. It may take a couple of years, like you said. But my fear is that by like week 7 this year, we're not like, oh, no, Justin Fields is going to be a star.
Yeah, like we were with Herbert last year.
Correct.
That's a real deal.
That's a very real fear. When we were talking here.
And they supposedly liked him.
Yes.
They liked him.
Yes, George Payton said he loves him. He's going to have a great career.
Loves him, yeah.
When we were sitting here during this segment, we got NFL Live up here on the big screen in our American Financing Studios. They had a graphic. I couldn't believe it. I got your attention. I said, you got to read that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe this is true. The Chicago Bears are the only franchise in the NFL to never,
ever,
ever, ever, ever, ever, ever,
never, ever,
in the history of the Bears have had a 4,000-yard passer. What?
Those are like a dime a dozen nowadays.
What?
I mean,
like, never?
Well, now we're going to 17 games. Hopefully they can, you know, check that box.
That's crazy.
It is.
That is crazy. And if Justin Fields shows up there and is a star and you got that palpable, like, you know it when you see it. I remember the first series that Joe Burrow took in the Bengals. The first series, I'm like, oh, wow. He looks the part. The fear is, because here's the thing, Stoke, if the Broncos were in the quarterback market, it fell to them such a way that it was a dream scenario if they were in the quarterback market.
Right.
And they turned down both of them.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out. Right. We'll see how it plays out. So, all right. In an effort, you know what? Let's actually save this here because I want to give Quinn Miners some time. We'll get to it before we...
He deserves some time.
Yeah.
You know, that's a unique story. And the funny thing about him, and we'll get into him, but I saw the story. I read the story. I read it before we drafted him. This was like, it came up on ESPN.com. They had a big story about this Division III player and how he was probably might be a second round pick now. And so I read that story. I was like, oh, that's intriguing. You know, good for him. He's got a chance to be, you know, go from wherever he is from.
Wisconsin Whitewater.
Yeah. To being possibly a second rounder after not even playing last year. And on top of that, you know, going to the Senior Bowl and really dominating at the Senior Bowl is kind of how he propelled himself.
But, yep.
It's just a crazy story, a great story about a guy that wasn't highly recruited, and now he's with, and then he turned out to get drafted by the Broncos.
Crazy,
you know? So
crazy.
But it is. It's a great story. It's a great story, and he seems like he's got his head on straight too.
Yeah, seems like it. We're gonna get into him in just a minute. LeBron James. LeBron James is expected to sit out tonight versus Denver. The game's on national television. He's going to rest his right ankle.
Okay.
He's ducking the Joker.
Ooh, he don't want none.
He's ducking the Joker.
Oh, LeBron.
Oh, man, I was looking forward to that. All right. Well, we'll see.
How many games do the Nuggets have left?
I think just seven.
Wow.
I think just seven games left. And by the way, the Nuggets are now in the 3 seed. The newest episode of Mile High Hoops is posted. Yes, it is. John gave me the thumbs up. It is posted on DenverFan.com or wherever you listen to your podcast. The Nuggets are in the 3 seed, and they need two more wins to hit their over total. So they need to go just 2-5 to clear their total. This is a team that was 500 after almost 20 games. No Jamal Murray, no Monty Morris, no Will Barton. And somehow they're looking like they're going to host the first-round playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to hit the over now. I mean, they're not.
It better.
Know, yeah, that would be an epic collapse.
Eight games left, John said.
Eight games, yeah.
Love it.
It's been impressive what they've been able to do here the last couple weeks. Really has. And it's been fun watching Nikola and what he's been able to do, even with the spotlight, like, shining bright on him with all the MVP talk, you know, 3 weeks ago, like, you know, it's Embiid, you know, all these people calling him out. He just continues to play good basketball. Not selfish basketball.
Nope.
Not trying to go out of his way to score points to make sure he's an MVP.
Nope.
He stayed the same throughout this whole thing. And he's just just playing really great basketball. Assist, rebounds. Okay, we need more points. Okay, boom, I'll do that. But he hasn't changed his game at all, even when the spotlight's been more on him. And I think that speaks volumes about just who he is. And he has just stayed consistent and been the same person and player the whole time.
Very well said.
Felt good.
All right, we have a bit of breaking Broncos news.
Oh.
How about this?
We do.
Yes, I'll tell you what it is next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, told you we had a bit of breaking news. The Broncos have released veteran quarterback Jeff Driskel, per source. This is coming from 9 News' Mike Kliss. So Jeff Driskel
He's no longer a Bronco.
He is no longer a Bronco. We can get back into that conversation in a minute because right now As promised earlier today, we have the legendary voice of Alabama football, Eli Gold, on the line with us. Eli, first of all, thank you so much for your time. You joined us this exact time last year, and we're talking about Jerry Jeudy. So it's the first time in a year that we've spoken. Welcome back to the program, Stokely and myself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to be back with you, and hopefully Jerry has given you some eye-opening moments over the year.
Well, you know what? He has. It was a complicated season for Jerry.
Sure.
There was some ball security issues. Did you, but by the way, before we talk about Pat Surtain, did you see any of those ball security issues from Jeudy when he was at Alabama?
Not really. That was one of the big surprises for me this year. I mean, he'd reach and hang on to everything that was thrown in his neighborhood. So, you know, I don't have to tell you guys. I mean, it's a big world of a difference between college ball and pro ball. And whether it's the nerves, whatever it might be, but don't give up on Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. We're one leg into this race with Jeudy. But Pat Surtain, Eli, you know and have seen Pat Surtain really probably more and know him better than anyone from an on-field standpoint. What type of player did the Broncos get?
Well, you know, it's going to sound weird. Somebody asked me this not too long ago. I said, heck if I know, nobody ever throws in his direction.
Right.
You know, and that's when you look at the numbers, they threw in his general direction 48 times.
Wow.
Which is nothing. And they completed 21 passes against him. So obviously what I say is those numbers are for real, but yes, you know how good he is. He is so good that nobody wanted to throw in his direction. He was able to recover if he got beat, which was rare. He had the speed to close. He had the ability to stay with people as they made their moves and so on. The guy was just outstanding, but literally, nobody threw in his direction. It was one of the strangest things you wanted to see.
Yeah, that's, you know, when you're really good, that's what happens. And Alabama play-by-play announcer Eli Gold is joining us here. Eli, talk about Pat Surtain off the football field. What kind of guy is he off the football field?
Well, you know, nice, good kid. I obviously am of a different generation than he, so we don't hang out together by any stretch. But, you know, on the practice field, it was, and this year it was limited on the practice field because of who was and who wasn't in the bubble. But, you know, it was always, hello, Mr. Gold, you know, that kind of thing. He was always, you know, very, 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 very nice to everybody. The guy was on the list for every single award that was given out in college football, let alone the all conference and all America. But, you know, he was a finalist for the Bednarik Award and the Nagurski Award and the Thorpe Award and the Lott Award. And the Lott Award is for also not only a great player, but for community service. Mm. So, you know, he is, you know, he was outstanding. You talk to all the coaches. He was really the top defender in the Southeastern Conference. I forget which of the pro football magazines it was, or services, they rated him the top cornerback. He allowed 25 yards or fewer in 10 of the 13 games that Bama played.
Wow.
I mean, so we're making, you know, we're talking numbers here that if nobody knew any different, you'd think I was making him up. So he was just an outstanding, outstanding ball player and a nice, nice guy. Obviously has a great pedigree with his dad having played in the NFL. He's just a good young man, and the man can play the game, no doubt about it.
Yeah, when you're talking about SEC football and you're telling me this kid's the defensive player of the year in the conference, a national champion, I mean, I don't know how much more needs to be said. But here's the thing, and I don't think a lot of our listeners know this, that Patrick Surtain was one of 10 Alabama players drafted this past weekend. That's the most ever. That is the most ever. And I'm so curious about one guy in particular, separate from Patrick Surtain. And we're going to have a front row seat for Patrick Surtain's immediate future. But Mac Jones, you know, the Broncos needed need a quarterback. I think most people agree on that. It looks like it's going to be a battle between Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. But they could have had Mac Jones. Mac Jones and Justin Fields were both on the clock there with the number 9 pick. They end up going Surtain. But you know Mac Jones in the same sort of light as Patrick Surtain. You called every single one of his plays this past season. Do you think the Broncos made a mistake? And what are your expectations for Mac Jones in New England?
I would never say that they made a mistake. That's not for me to say. And when you get Patrick Surtain, you've not made a mistake. You have to prioritize. And I wasn't in that draft room. I don't know what they felt their most pressing need was. Mac is very, very, very good. A hugely intelligent player. Is he the fastest guy on two legs? No. But I'm not comparing him here. I am certainly not putting him on a pedestal like these other guys, but was John Elway the fastest guy? Was Peyton Manning the fastest guy? Heck, is Brady the fastest guy? They all have such world-class abilities, but, you know, people say, well, Mac wasn't the fastest guy. Well, you know, maybe they had to time him with a sundial, but he still won the national championship. And, you know, People always say, well, you know, but he looked at who he had to throw to and look at who he had to hand off to. Well, since when is that a criminal offense
right.
to have great players around you? He had the ability. He had the luxury of throwing to Waddle and to a Heisman Trophy winner in Devontae Smith. He had the luxury of handing off to Najee Harris. He had the luxury of being behind America's top offensive line in college. But you still had to make the plays. You know, I don't care who was out there. You still had to get them the ball. You still had to hang in there. You still had to face pressure. So Mac is an outstanding quarterback. I think he'll thrive in the Patriots system. Because, as has well been documented, that system is near identical to the Nick Saban system because he and Bill Belichick are so close. And he's used to playing for a very demanding head coach. So Mac will do well, but to say that the Broncos made a mistake, I couldn't say that. I mean, you've gotten yourselves an absolutely spectacular defensive back. He'll bring, I'm sure, and I must admit, I don't know all of the needs and wants of the Broncos.
Sure.
But you got yourself a guy who is going to cure a lot of what you felt you needed. So don't think you make a mistake. You made a mistake. Not at all.
Well, I love hearing that. I think you're making some of Broncos country feel a little bit better right now driving in their car from someone who knows what he's talking about when it comes to Pat Surtain. Eli Gold, voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide. We really appreciate your time here joining us in consecutive years. Last year, Judy, this year, Surtain. And who knows what's around the corner and what the future will bring. So we will stay in touch, and we thank you for your time today.
My pleasure always. Have yourselves a wonderful season, and you'll enjoy Patrick. He's a wonderful young man.
Thanks, Eli.
Can't wait. Thanks, Eli.
See you guys.
All right. There he goes. Awesome. Legendary sportscaster in the Alabama Hall of Fame.
He had his streak broken of 409 games this year. Consecutive.
Is that right?
409 consecutive games called because he had COVID.
I saw that when it happened. Yeah. I saw that when it happened. 409 straight games.
Yeah,
how many seasons is that?
Wow. That's a lot.
Gosh.
That's a lot. So, look, he's done it for a long time at a very high level. So, it's always good to get people on that really know and call these guys games and really know them. And so, look, it's great to hear. Now, we'll see how it plays out. Nobody knows how it's going to play out, if it was a mistake to pass on Mac Jones and Justin Fields or not. So two things could be true at once. I mean, they all could turn out to be good players.
Yeah.
Yep. If it works out that way, then it probably was a mistake.
Well,
and if you don't find your quarterback, then it really was a mistake. If you end up finding your quarterback, then it's say, okay, we found our quarterback, like
right,
Buffalo.
Right.
Like Buffalo did,
sure,
when they traded out of the Patrick Mahomes pick.
Right.
But they end up finding their quarterback, so they're okay.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, okay, we're all right.
And even if Justin Fields goes on to be a terrific quarterback, if Surtain is an all-pro, it's going to ease that blow. It's going
to
ease that
blow.
You're
going to have to still find a quarterback, though.
Well, that's for sure.
That's the thing. That quarterback position is twofold what a cornerback position's worth.
Sure.
So, but it certainly would help. Certainly would help if that guy you pick ends up being a great player.
All right. Stoke, MLB, The Show 21 is out now on both PlayStation and Xbox consoles. For hardcore baseball fans, casual baseball fans, you can play all 162 or just drop in for the biggest moments in the postseason. We're giving away a free copy on PlayStation or Xbox. All you have to do is register for the free Denver Sports Daily, our a daily newsletter with news, columns, games, recaps, and more. Sign up now at denverfan.com, and you could win a copy of MLB The Show 21. It is a video game that is Paxton approved.
Well, speaking of that, did you see Oakland Athletics pitcher Jesus Luzardo suffered a broken pinky while playing video games?
No way.
Yeah. Yep. You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah. He pitched. He ended up pitching, broke his pinky. Didn't quite know. They checked it out and said, okay,
he thought
he was good to pitch. He pitched. He didn't pitch very well. But then after the game, got x-rays, hairline fracture on the injured list now.
It said he thumped a table while playing a video game. So he was frustrated. Ah, gosh darn it. Hit the table.
There goes the pinky.
Oh, my God, man.
So he didn't just like, you know, he really slammed hard on that thing. But, yeah, wow. I saw that and I was like,
oh. add that to the list of like some of these baseball injuries that are just beyond head scratch. And I guess it goes beyond just baseball.
Right.
We've seen some silly ones.
Oh, yeah. They're all over the place. But, you know, just think about it. Think about that. I mean, now who knows how long he's out for?
Right.
Playing video
games. Video game.
Got upset, couldn't control his emotions. But we have a few of these every year. Every year, something like that is like kind of a be careful,
mm-hmm.
be careful,
mm-hmm.
Because it's, but what a bad way to, you know, lose a starting pitcher if you're the A's.
Crazy.
Video game.
Video game. Jeff Driscoll showed.
Maybe he was playing MLB the Show.
Maybe he was playing The Show. Maybe he was playing as himself.
That's why he got frustrated.
Did you ever like play video games and throw it to yourself?
I did play, yes. I used to play Madden a lot, but never. I kind of stopped, like, my first 4 years in Baltimore, played a lot, and then when I got to Indianapolis, didn't play as much anymore, you know, started having kids, but early on in my career, when I was younger, played a lot.
Yep.
Didn't throw to myself very much, especially, the rating in those days, Baltimore days were pretty low.
Right.
Didn't throw to myself then.
Jeff Driscoll shown the door.
Something that we speculated on for months and months. I mean, there's no chance they are bringing him back. I didn't know what the holdup there was. Like, just get it over with. What if he shows up and starts working out and gets hurt? Now you're on the hook for it. That's why I was saying a few weeks ago, when that thing opens up, I'm in the building. And I am putting as much weight on the barbell as I can and lifting it. Because if you get hurt, now they're on the hook. So just kind of like, what took you so long here?
Yeah.
But it's over with now. That was a bad one from John. Driscoll just, he's just not a good quarterback. Just doesn't throw the ball very well. And you need to throw the ball in the NFL to usually be successful, unless you're Lamar Jackson, and he's not Lamar Jackson, so.
And even Lamar Jackson led the league in touchdown passes
in
2019.
That's right, yes. So he threw the ball pretty well then. But it was just not a good one. Not a good one, not a good signing. And obviously after 1 year, they told us that.
Yeah. How about this? Tom Brady. said that he would trade in two Super Bowl rings in exchange.
The undefeated season?
Yes.
Really? I didn't see this.
He said he would trade in two rings to beat the Giants and go undefeated in 2007. That's how bad that one is stuck in his craw. Well, could it not be, of course.
I mean, I would say trade three of them. I mean, that's epic right there. You know, that's something where you're always talked about as undefeated, you know, 19-0, whatever they would have been, and you kind of trump the Miami Dolphins. It's that was a big one. That certainly was a big one, and obviously if you had games that you want back, that would be one for Tom Brady. I mean, the biggest stage, you haven't lost a game all year. It's such a hard accomplishment to achieve. Mm. And there you are in the final game, and you lose, and the way that they lost makes it, you know, probably more difficult. But certainly, yeah, that I'd do three of them if I was him.
Right.
Because that's epic.
Gosh.
If you finish off a season like that.
Yeah. Gosh. Three? Oh, man.
Undefeated. Undefeated season. There's only been one of them.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, in the 70s.
Yeah. Was it 72?
Yeah, 72 Dolphins. I mean, this to do it in this day and age, man.
Crazy.
Yeah, but.
Crazy.
That just tells you, I mean, two of them, that's a lot, obviously. But you give away three, you get one back, don't you?
True. True.
So giving away two, but he's really only giving away one because he's getting one.
It's a good point. I didn't even think about it like that. We have made a decision. Really, Stokely made the executive decision in
our... That's what I do. That's what captains do. Captains that lead the ship, they make the decisions that matter. So I had to make the decision.
Quinn Meinerz, who was drafted in the third round, and I said earlier in the show we're going to examine two draft picks every single day. We did Javonte Williams earlier in the show. If you missed that, that is in hour number two. You can just hit up the podcast. I think you'll enjoy it. And we will just move Quinn Meinerz for tomorrow. We want to give him and that belly some room.
Yes.
And talk about him properly. So he'll have his own dedicated segment tomorrow. And since we already did Sertan on Friday, we'll be back. We do two tomorrow, two Wednesday. We'll get
We'll play it by ear. We're not promising we'll get it all done by Friday. Whenever we get it done, we get it done. Okay? Right. We don't stick to a schedule. We don't
have a schedule that organized.
We stick to, okay? That's not how we roll. We're very flexible here, okay? And we'll get to it when we get to it. If we get to Quinn Meinerz tomorrow, then great. You know, if we get to another guy with him, perfect. If not, if it goes till next Friday, guess what? It's all good, brother. We got like you said earlier, we got time. Nothing but time on our hands.
We're going to do all 10 picks this week. We're going to do all 10 picks this week.
Don't be so sure.
That's the goal.
Don't be so sure. What are you thinking about the game tonight? I'm not talking about the Rockies.
Right.
The Giants are playing great ball. They're first.
They are.
They're in first.
How about that, man?
Huh?
How about that?
That's coming out of left field.
Yeah.
What about the basketball game tonight?
Yeah.
No LeBron, like you said earlier. What are you expecting?
It's Nuggets, Lakers. That game is on national television on ESPN. I do believe the Denver Nuggets will win. Defensively, this team defensively is on another level right now. They are, man, you talk about guys on a string. You talk about on-time rotations. Guys going max effort. I mean, they're skinning the cat a different way. They're not trying to win 130.
Is that PETA approved?
Probably not.
No, let's find something else. They're doing something with they're feeding two birds with a couple scones.
they're really impressing me, man. I am like this team to be 9-1 without Jamal Murray, Monty Morris down, Will Barton. If you want to hear more of an expansive conversation, you can hit up the Mile High Hoops podcast.
That's
available.
Three plugs you've given
wherever.
It
well,
that's three. Of that's them. It better be good.
Well, that's three more than I'm going to get on any other show or on any other a commercial.
Right,
it's the most unloved podcast on this station.
It needs more love,
I'm not mad at that.
I'm not mad at that. It better be a good show, though. So
I think you'll like it.
Make sure you hit me up on Twitter or something and let me know, or TheRamosLaw.com text after you listen to the podcast, the Mile Hoops podcast, and tell me if it was worth it or not. If it was worth Zach giving three plugs to it today.
Have a great rest of your afternoon. We got so much more to get to tomorrow.
Is it stopped finally? Is it snowing? What do we got going on here? I feel like I'm in Louisiana.
It'll
overcast, rain.
Enjoy it.
Have a good one, buddy.
Go enjoy it.
You know I will.
John Simmer, Behind the Glass. We're going to run it back tomorrow. We step aside for now. We got The Drive coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.